easy. There's a cross standing in my way. The cross stands between me and forever. To die in sin is a choice left up to me. Yes, there's a cross standing between me and forever. If I go down, I'll have to pass right by that tree. Sinner, hear the words I'm saying. Now, if sin's flames become your home, I don't see how. 'Cause you'll go there through loved ones' prayers they pray each day. Oh, not there's a cross standing in your way. The cross stands between me and forever. To die in sin is a choice left up to me.
Kings chapter number 3. Before we get started this morning, I do want to say, as we've got Veterans Day coming up, and I want to say, would the veterans that we got please stand this morning? So we got a couple, amen, and we appreciate their service and what they've done, and amen, just give them a round of applause this morning. Amen. 2 Kings chapter number 3. This morning, pray God help us. Beginning in verse number 1, it says in 2 Kings chapter 3 and verse number 1, "Now Jehoram, the son of Ahab, began to reign over Israel in Samaria in the 18th year of Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, and reigned 12 years. And he wrought evil in the sight of the Lord, but not like unto his father and like his mother, for he put away the images of Baal that his father had made. Nevertheless, he clave unto the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, which made Israel to sin. He departed not therefrom. And Mesha, king of Moab, was a sheep master, and rendered unto the king of Israel 100,000 lambs and 100,000 rams with the wool. But it came to pass, when Ahab was dead, that the king of Moab rebelled against the king of Israel. And the king Jehoram went out of Samaria the same time and numbered all Israel. And he went and sent to Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, saying, The king of Moab hath rebelled against me. Wilt thou go with me against Moab to battle? And he said, I will go up. I am as thou art, my people as thy people, and my horses as thy horses. And he said, Which way shall we go up? And he answered, The way through the wilderness of Edom. And the king of Israel went, and the king of Judah, and the king of Edom, and they fetched a compass of 7 days' journey, and there was no water for the host and for the cattle that followed them. And the king of Israel said, "Alas, that the Lord hath called these three kings together to deliver them into the hand of Moab." But Jehoshaphat said, "Is there not here a prophet of the Lord that we may inquire of the Lord by him?" And one of the king of Israel's servants answered and said, "Here is Elisha, the son of Shaphat, which poured water on the hands of Elijah." And Jehoshaphat said, The word of the Lord is with him." So the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat, the king of Edom, went down to him. And Elisha said unto the king of Israel, "What have I to do with thee? Get thee to the prophets of thy father and to the prophets of thy mother." And the king of Israel said unto him, "Nay, for the Lord hath called these three kings together to deliver them into the hand of Moab." And Elisha said, "As the Lord of hosts liveth, before whom I stand, surely were it not that I regard the presence of Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, I would not look toward thee nor see thee. But now bring me a minstrel." And it came to pass when they played, the hand of the Lord came upon him. And he said, "Thus saith the Lord, make this valley full of ditches. For thus saith the Lord, ye shall not see wind, neither shall ye see rain, yet that the valley shall be filled with water, that ye may drink, both ye and your cattle and your beasts." Let us pray. Father, we thank you this morning for your blessings. We thank you for the word of God. And we just ask you to help us this morning, I pray, as we preach the word, that we might be an able minister of the word of God. We ask you to touch us. Pray that you'd put your hand upon us. And Father, just open up our hearts and our ears to hear and receive. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. I want to just set the scene this morning a little bit. Moab's in subjection unto Jehoram, the king of Israel. He's in subjection to Israel. But when Ahab died, who was Jehoram's father, when he died, Moab attempted to regain her freedom and refused to pay the tribute. And so Jehoram gathered up all of his troops and he made an alliance with Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, to join forces with him, and also with the king of Edom to bring Moab back into subjection unto him. And so they gather up, and these three kings, and they go down by the way of Moab, and they take their journey. But when they get there, they're unable to find any water for the troops and for the cattle, for everything that followed them, and their campaign was in trouble. Amen. When you get without water, you're in trouble. I mean, when you don't have any water, we really, around here, we don't think that much about it. Amen. Being able to get water, I mean, we can drill and we can get some water. We may have to go a long way, but it's down there. I didn't think too much about it. My brother moved off up to Tennessee, and you get off up there and you can have a time finding some good water. But water, they needed it. They needed the water, and they didn't have any. And so we look in verse 9, it tells us there, and we've already mentioned, but verse 9 tells us who the alliance was with to go and fight against Moab. And it was Israel, Judah, and Edom. These were the three nations and the three kings. They were going up there to bring them back into subjection. And the first thing I want us to look at this morning, there's several things just want us to see here in these verses and maybe a little bit farther down. And the first one is Jehoram, the king of Israel. It tells us there in the very beginning in verse number 1, "Now Jehoram, the son of Ahab, began to reign over Israel in Samaria in the 18th year of Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, and he reigned 12 years, and he wrought evil in the sight of the Lord, but not like his father and like his mother, for he put away the image of Baal that his father had made. Nevertheless, he clave unto the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, which made Israel to sin. He was an evil king. He was a wicked king. He wrought evil in the sight of the Lord. But it says, but not like unto his father and his mother. Of course, we know, we look back, well, who was his father and his mother? Amen. Ahab and Jezebel. That was his father and his mother. And so we look at him and we know, because of who his parents were, he was brought up in an ungodly environment, in an ungodly household, and who his parents was greatly affected him. It made a difference in his life. Amen. I'd tell us right there and warn us right there that the influence of our lives is going to make a difference with the next generation. Amen. The things that are important to us could be important to the next generation. Amen. But many things that we don't deem very important, amen, the next generation won't deem very important. Amen. And so it matters. It makes a difference. And so our influence is passed down from generation to generation. Sons and remote descendants are going to inherit the consequences of their father's sin and bad example and of their evil communications. Well, that ain't fair. Well, I mean, nobody ever said life was fair. That's just the way it is. That's the way it is today. Amen. I mean, you know, you hear people talk certain things in America. You know, they talk about the national debt. Somebody said, well, we didn't make it. Amen. We didn't make all this debt. Well, amen. Well, you may not have, but you got it. We got it. Amen. It's passed down from generation to generation. And so it is here in Scripture. And so this is what it means when the Bible talks about visiting the iniquities of the fathers on the children to the third and fourth generation. Now, don't say that the children's going to have to pay for their father's sins, because Jehoram didn't get judged for his father and his mother's sins. He got judged for his sins. Amen. There was a consequence. Amen. He was in an ungodly environment. And if we listen to what many would say today, they would say, well, you know what? And listen, I've even said it my own self about certain people. I've used this word and I've said this. Well, you know what? They didn't really have a chance. Look at him. No wonder that Jehoram turned out like he did. Look who his mom and daddy was. He didn't have a chance. But see, he didn't get judged for his mama and daddy's sins. He got judged for his sins. For his sins. And while it makes a difference who our parents were, while I'm talking about as far as the influence, it makes a difference on how I raise my children, how you raise your children. It matters. But we're each one going to be judged for our own selves. Nobody else is going to stand up in a judgment for us. It's going to be us. Amen. And you see, and if this is the pattern, and while Jehoram had evil parents, it don't mean that he had to be evil. You see, and we won't turn and read all of the verses, but I'll just tell you, back in the book of 2 Kings in chapter 16, it says Ahaz began to, in the beginning of his reign, and you know what he did? The Bible said that Ahaz done evil in the sight of the Lord. But he had a son. His son's name was Hezekiah. But it says that when Ahaz died, Hezekiah, the son of Ahaz, king of Judah, he began to reign. He was 25 years old when he began to reign, but he reigned when he was 25 years old. And it says in verse number 3 of chapter 18 of 2 Kings, and he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord according to all that his father did. Amen. I'm thankful this morning for the grace of God. Amen. Amen. He had an ungodly father that the Bible said he was an evil king, just as Ahab was. And Jehoram followed in the steps of his father. He just kept it on. He just kept right on. But amen, Hezekiah didn't. Hezekiah did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. And so this tells us here in these first three verses, Jehoram was an evil king. And amen, he was responsible for the evil that he did. He was. But then the second thing that we notice here is because Moab had rebelled, he's making some plans. Jehoram's making plans. He's going to bring them back into subjection. But he wants some help. And so he calls for Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, and he calls for the king of Edom to go with him that they might bring them back into subjection. Now, Jehoshaphat was a godly king. Now, he made some missteps. One of them's right here. See, the thing about this is with Jehoshaphat, he had already made this same misstep with Ahab. Amen. Jehoram's father, he had already made that misstep because he had been rebuked by the prophet of God because he had made an alliance with Ahab. Amen. And it was costly to him. But here he is now. Jehoram's coming and he said, Moab's rebelled. And he said, I'm a-going. And what do we read? Jehoshaphat don't say, let's pray about this thing and see what God, let's get some direction from God. I mean, he didn't do that. He did what we do a lot of times when we get asked questions. Like he said, my people is your people. He said, our horse is your horses. Let's go and let's go do it. Why did he do that? I don't know exactly why he did, but listen, Moab was the enemy of Judah. They had already, in the previous year, they had already had conflict, and Moab was put down. But, you know, Jehoshaphat, he was human. And we humans, we get to thinking sometimes, you know, he might have thought, this is a good time to weaken my enemy. We won't give them an opportunity to get strong again. We got an opportunity right here to nip this thing in the bud. Amen, as Barney Fife would say. We can get rid of this. So, you know, they were the enemy. And also maybe, you know, he might have looked and he said, well, I know that I shouldn't have went with Ahab, but you know what, Jehoram, he has put away the prophets of Baal. You know, I think he might be going to turn the corner. I'm going to go along. I'm going to go. But whatever the reason, he went. And they made plans. And I tell you what, God help us. We make plans too. But we have to be careful about our making plans. And we need to make plans. And when we make plans, we need to make sure that we make them and say, you know, if the Lord will. Because even if we make plans, even if we're in God's will, that does not mean that everything's going to go smooth. But I tell you what, if you're in God's will and things don't go smooth, we've got confidence that, hey, at least we know we're doing what God wants us to do. I mean, Paul, everything didn't always go smooth for him. But amen, he was walking the road that God would have him to walk. But when we stray from that road and everything falls apart, boy, then that confidence is gone. We wonder, well, what's next? What's now? Because we know we didn't consult God with this. Amen. We did like the preacher that got the call to the big church with the big money. You know, and they said, he told his wife, and his wife said, well, don't you think we need to pray about that before we go? He said, you absolutely right. He said, I'm going to go upstairs and pray. He said, you go pack. Amen. You know, we do some of that kind of praying sometimes too. I've heard Daddy say before, he said, well, you know, he had something he wanted to do and he didn't want to go ask his daddy because you know why he didn't want to go ask his daddy? He already knew what Daddy was going to say. And he didn't want to go ask. I mean, sometimes with God, we don't really want to pray about it because we know, we already know. And that's not what we want to do. So they're making plans. They're making plans to go because everything couldn't be set up any more perfect. This is it. This is the opportunity. But we find out the third thing here, notice to look at because the outlook changed and it changed quite quickly. In verse number 10, chapter 3 there, it said, and the king of Israel said, alas, that the Lord has called these three kings together to deliver them into the hand of Moab. Now here Jehoram is, he's ready to go and he's called him around some help. He wants to make sure and get this done. But now he's come up there and he's come to the place and the point and he's saying, God has called us together. He's done got the king of Edom and myself and Jehoshaphat all right here in this valley. He's rounded us all up so that Moab can come to destroy us. We out of water. We can't water the cattle. We can't give water to the men. We can't. Amen. And so the campaign, the wheels is coming off is what we would say. What are we going to do? The outlook has changed. And when we make plans without God, they can go sideways in a hurry. But here, the outlook has changed and Jehoram is wondering now what's going to happen. he's getting, maybe we would say, kind of beside himself. Because this ain't what we planned on. What do we do? But he had Jehoshaphat with him. And we find in verse number 11, the inquiry. It says, "But Jehoshaphat said, is there not here a prophet of the Lord that we may inquire of the Lord by him?" So Jehoshaphat, he says, wait a minute. In reality, what he's saying here is he's a little bit late, like we do sometimes, but he says, you know what? We probably need to pray about this thing. He's a little bit behind, but amen, but he got there. You know what? Sometimes we get behind on our praying, but God knows how to get us there. And when we was in a valley and there wasn't any water and it looked like the wheels was falling off the campaign and there was no way they could win, he said, ain't there a prophet of God around here that we could inquire of him? And one of Israel's, one of the servants said, Elisha's here. He ministered to Elijah. He's here. And so the three kings, they gathered up and they said, let's go see Elisha. So they go down to Elisha. Now, I want you to notice when they go down to inquire of Elisha, you can read those verses and we can find out one thing about Elisha. He didn't have any use for Jehoram. Why? Because he was evil. Because everything that he did was against God. And so when they come to inquire, and you can read in those verses right there, they come to inquire Elisha, and you know what Elisha says to Jehoram? He said, what do I got to do with you? What is it? What are you coming to me for? And he even told him, he said, why don't you go pray to those gods, the prophets of your mother and your father? Go to them gods. That's the gods that you go to for everything else. Now you've gotten trouble, and amen, and you've come to me. Why? Go check with them. Go see if they can find you some water. You see, too many times folks want to use Jesus and use God just for a crutch. We just try to, if we can just get out of trouble, you know, we can go on. Didn't want to have to do anything to do with God until he got in trouble. And then he said, yeah, listen, let's go see the prophet. Elisha tells him, Jehoram, in these verses you read, he said, I wouldn't even look your way except for one reason. Jehoshaphat's with you. Jehoshaphat's with you. If it wasn't for him, you'd be in a mess. Because you'd be all on your own. But he got somebody to come in to play. And the Spirit of God came on him and he began to prophesy and he told them what to do. And amen. And this is really what I wanted us to get this morning, because this is what I want us to see this morning. Is I want us to see he told them to go dig some ditches. We might call them cisterns. We might call them reservoirs. Because they're digging ditches for water. But they ain't got no water. But he said, go dig some ditches. But he told Jehoram, he said, the only reason that I'm looking, the only reason, amen, is because of who you got with you. Amen. See, Jehoshaphat was a godly king. And he had respect unto Jehoshaphat. Boy, I thought about that. I looked back at Scripture and I thought about Lot. And I've mentioned it before. Lot was sure happy that Abraham was his uncle. Amen. He was happy. Noah's boys probably spent a lot of time getting ridiculed and thinking that, boys, y'all ain't got a lick of sense. Y'all need to have your daddy committed and come on with us. But I'm going to tell you what, amen, there came a day after 120 years when the storm clouds gathered up and it began to thunder and the rain clouds came and they closed the door. Amen, they wouldn't have had no other daddy in all the world, but boy, they's glad Noah was their daddy. I thought about them fellas on that boat. Paul had already said that, listen, we don't need to take this journey. Not now. It's the wrong time of the year, but everything looked good. And they said, this ain't a good place for us to spend the winter. I think we make it. We're going to go. And boy, a storm came up, and the Bible says that all hope was lost, that they should be saved. But you know what? God knew right where they was at. And it says that he sent an angel to who? To Paul. They was glad Paul was on that boat. They was glad Paul was on that boat. And I tell you what, the world may not like the church, and amen, may not like the God's people, but amen, they better be thankful that the church is still in the world.
Amen.
Amen. Because God, amen, there's a lot of things that happens and does not happen because, amen, of who God still got in this world. And that's what he's telling Jehoram. He said, you fixing to see the grace of God. Amen. Because I got respect. Amen. To Jehoshaphat. And he said, boys, he said, y'all go dig some ditches. Now it sounds like a strange request. Go dig some ditches. They went and dug some ditches, but you know what? They didn't know water come up in them. I mean, they just had empty holes. And what he told them was, it wasn't just dig ditches, but he said, you go dig ditches. And he said, you're not going to see it. You're not going to see a cloud. You're not going to see any water. You're not going to even feel any wind. But he said, I'm going to fill up them ditches. And so they went and dug the ditches. And so here you got a valley, and I mean, I don't know how many ditches there, but it was quite a gathering, so I imagine it pretty good. So they had several holes dug out there. You know what happens many times in our lives? The grace of God, it comes, and you know what I've had to say about it? I don't understand it. I don't know how it works. I don't know where it came from. I can't explain it to you, but amen. But amen. We just obeyed God, and God filled it. God filled it up, and He filled up the valley, amen, with water enough for them to drink and for their cattle and for everything. Amen. God filled up the reservoirs, and so amen. What they had was reservoirs of grace. Boy, many times in my life, and I would say in your life, amen, we've seen and we've been there, and we can't tell you where it came from. We can't even explain to you maybe how it got there, except for this. The Bible said that my grace is sufficient. My grace is sufficient. The grace of God able to keep us, able to help us when everything else around us looks like that there is no hope, that there is no way. Amen. He said, my grace is sufficient. My grace is sufficient. And amen, God, He filled the reservoirs with water. Now, we didn't go on and read on down past, but it tells us that Moab, they rose up and they knew them three kings was down there in the valley. And they got up and they looked out over the valley. And they saw that water, but the sun, the way the sun was hitting it, and the way the sun was going on it, to them it looked like blood. You know, they knew that there ain't no reservoir down there. There ain't no water down there. Well, it is now because God put some down there. But when they looked and the way the sun was hitting it, they looked and they said, it's blood. And so you know what they reasoned? These three kings that's come up against us, they can't get along with one another. The battle's done broke out and they've done slew one another. And the valley's full of blood. And so you know what they said? They said, Moab to the spoils. And so they went to the valley. They was getting ready for war, but they thought it was all over. Now all we got to do is go collect the spoils. But amen, when they got down there, they found out that amen, there wasn't anything wrong between them three kings, that God was just setting a trap. That God was fighting for them. And they began to slay the Moabites and to pursue, and they destroyed them. Why? Not because of the three kings, but because of God. Because God delivered them that day into their hand. Amen. The reservoirs of grace. They didn't see any clouds. They didn't see any rain. Amen. They didn't see any wind. But amen. But the grace of God showed up. And amen. I'm thankful today. We might not see any clouds. We might not see the wind. We might not see the rain. But amen. I'm telling you, the grace of God's real and it can show up. Amen. And it will. Amen. And it will show up. Amen. Because see, here's one thing about God. God does not have to go about doing things in the usual way. He does sometimes, but He don't have to. Amen. He can do them in the most unusual way. But see, here's the question for us. What did they have to do? Elisha said, go dig some ditches. You know what? God, there was a lot of commands given in the Bible for different ones to go do different things. You know, Naaman, you need to go down there into the river and you need to dip. He didn't want to go down there in the river and dip. I mean, he probably thought, well, he even said it. We got better rivers than this. I could have done that at home. No, that wasn't a river God said go dip in. See, God said go dig some ditches. And he said, if you'll dig the ditches, he said, I'll fill them with grace. I wonder this morning, what is it that God's, where's the reservoir? Where's the ditches, amen, that God would have us to be digging? Are we walking in obedience to God? Are we where God wants us to be? Are we digging the ditches and the reservoirs that God needs, amen, that He might take and fill them with His grace? To fill them with that water of life. Amen, that's what He said. He said, go dig some ditches. Sometimes, some things happen in this life and we say, well, I believe God's leading me and directing me here. Well, amen, if you believe God's directing you that way, amen, you need to obey God. Because God, amen, if we'll dig the ditches, amen, God can fill it with grace. You know, God could have dug the ditch too if He'd wanted to. But see, He lets us work with Him. Amen. We get to partnership with God. God uses us. What a blessing. That God could take our little bit and multiply it and make reservoirs of grace. Amen. Elisha said, go dig some ditches. You're not going to see and know where it's coming from, but God's going to fill them with water. Amen. This morning, God's able to fill your reservoir, amen, with water, with the grace of God this morning. As you stand with us this morning, amen, as we sing this morning, if you have a need, a prayer need this morning, while we wait, I pray that you come this morning while we sing this song of invitation.